Let's grab our copy of the Word of God then.
And if you'll find your place in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Brother Tom actually read some of these verses this morning and before Sunday school. But I want to give you a thought out of a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, one that God has given to me. Hebrews chapter number 11. And when you find your place there, if you'll stand, stretch your legs if you would like to. If you can't stand, we understand. But if you can stand, we'll ask you to do that. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," that is faith, "for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are made of things which do appear." Father, I pray for your help for just a few minutes. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As I said just a moment ago, the chapter before us is undoubtedly a familiar one. In fact, the topic that I intend to preach on tonight is also familiar. We know that Hebrews chapter 11 is that great chapter of faith. In fact, many have gone as far as to say that Hebrews 11 is the hall of fame of faith. I guess you could say it this way, it is the Cooperstown of the Bible. In this chapter, we read the names of men and women that were heroes in the Christian faith. These were men and women that stood head and shoulders above those that were around them. They did great things for the cause of Christ. And you could go one by one and read the story of these heroes in this chapter. But tonight, these heroes of faith do not have my attention so much as the faith that they displayed. It is the description given to us in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3 of the faith that they held and the faith that they possessed and the faith that they displayed that has my intention tonight. I thought about this week. According to the pages of the New Testament, there are three Christian virtues that God wants every child of God to possess. Those three things are faith, hope, and love. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he said, "Remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope." He wrote to the Corinthians and said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity." You see, every one of us are to possess faith, hope, and love. We know that hope is the thing inside of us that causes us to look to the future. Paul called it a blessed hope in Titus chapter number 2. Every child of God should have a hopeful expectation inside of their heart. Love is the thing that, according to 1 Corinthians 13, is the greatest virtue because it is the thing that balances all areas of the Christian life. Love keeps us from thinking too highly of ourselves and thinking too lowly of someone else. Love motivates us to serve God and serve our fellow man. Love keeps us from sin, keeps us in fellowship, and keeps us moving on for God. But this third virtue, faith, is what I'm thinking of tonight. Paul describes faith in 1 Thessalonians 1 as being a work. And that's a pretty good description because faith is something that we both have to work at and that keeps us working. So it makes sense to say the work of faith. In fact, James said it this way in James 2:18. He said, "You can say that you have faith and I can say that I have works." He said, "Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works." Faith is something we do, not just something we possess. Think about this. Faith is the thing that brings us to salvation, is it not? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith," right? Faith is required, and Faith is honored when we pray. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 17:20, they watched him as he spoke and cursed that fig tree, and they were amazed by that. And he said in Matthew 17:20, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be removed, and it would be cast into the sea. Faith is the tool that equips us to walk with God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, For we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the means by which we believe the very word of God. Chapter 3 of Hebrews 11 says, for by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We know this. The Bible says it, and by faith we believe it. Therefore, the scripture is clear. Faith is the means by which we come to God, talk to God, walk with God, understand more about God. It all hinges on faith. I said all that to say this. I'm afraid that faith is something that we are lacking in our churches today. The reason that I believe we are lacking in faith in our churches is because we are lacking individually in our hearts when it comes to faith. God wants us to grow in faith. God wants us to see great things done by faith. God wants us to see others come to Him by faith. But instead, we are usually filled with either doubt, or most of the time, I believe it's this, Brother David, we're just simply filled with indifference. It's not necessarily that we don't believe God can. It's just that we're not so concerned if He does. Tonight I want to preach a few minutes on the subject of faith. In fact, I gave my title this message, Finding Faith. Finding Faith. I want us to look at these three verses and see what God wants us to see in this great chapter of faith regarding this all-important subject. Number one, maybe you want to write this down. I see faith's substance. I see faith's substance. Paul said in, I believe it was Paul, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it faith the elders obtained a good report. Now some say that Hebrews 11:1-2 give us a definition of faith. I'm not sure that faith can be defined, but if it could, this would be a good definition. Whether it's a definition of faith or not, we do know this. We know that these verses teach us what faith is. Many believers believe, and even the world believes, that faith is a leap in the dark. You've probably heard somebody say that. Faith is a leap in the dark. Somebody would say that faith is believing what you know isn't so. But neither one of those are what faith is. Faith is not a leap in the dark. We'll see in a minute. Faith is based on evidence. And faith is not believing what is not so. That is not faith. Faith is neither of those things. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is evidence of things not seen. Faith is the very foundation on which all the ways of God are built. In fact, I'd say this. Faith lays hold on all other things regarding Christianity. Do you realize that we grow in our walk with Christ by faith? If you do not display faith, you do not learn faith, you do not grow in faith, you will not grow in your walk with God. Sister Megan, I believe it was, sung a song tonight about that unexpected storm did not take him by surprise. You know, the Bible says something interesting oftentimes about storms. Now, it warns us not to suffer as an evildoer. But if we suffer and we're in the will of God, it tells us to rejoice. And we think, how could I rejoice over suffering? It could be that we trust God in that time, knowing that He is drawing us closer to Himself. And we are growing because of what we're dealing with. We grow by faith. We give by faith. You see, you and I, we give our tithes and we give our talents and we give our time and we give our testimony. We give to God by faith. We go by faith. Jesus said, go into all the world. And we say, I'd rather stay at home. But God called us to a world, called us to a land where we should be a witness for Him. And we go by the faith that God is going to honor what we do. We gain by faith. You say, I'd like to see God do something in my life. Have you prayed about it? You say, I'd like to see something change in my life. Have you prayed about it? But James said, when you ask of God, don't be like the sea tossed about. You've got to ask in faith. You see what we do, the reason we're not gaining much is we're not praying in faith much. We pray, and as we're praying, we're thinking, God ain't going to do this. Oh my. We grow by faith. We give by faith. We go by faith. We gain by faith. We even grieve by faith. Oh, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, you sorrow not as others which have no hope, but we do have hope by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, faith is more than I hope so. Faith is believing. It is having assurance in your soul. Dr. Warren Wiersbe one time said this. He said, true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. He went on to say, this faith operates quite simply. God speaks and we hear His word. We trust His word and act on it no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. The circumstances may be impossible and the consequences frightening and unknown, but we obey God's word just the same. You see, that is faith. It is taking God at His word. The Bible in this our text uses three words to describe faith. It uses the word substance in verse number one. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance in verse number one is the Greek word hypostasis. And that word hypostasis is a scientific term. It is a word meaning on which something rests. Literally, it means to stand under and support is what it means. The opposite, maybe so you can understand this word. The opposite of hypostasis is the word hypothesis. You know what a hypothesis is, don't you? A hypothesis is an educated guess. I am guessing at this. That is not faith, an educated guess. Faith is the opposite of that. Faith is a knowledge. It is a confidence. It is a knowing because God has said it to be so. Faith is what holds us up and supports us. It is a source. Faith is the means by which, it is the foundation by which we stand. The old gospel writer got it right when they wrote the words, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. He is our substance. He uses the second word. It's the word evidence. He said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word for evidence is elegokos, and it is a legal term which means evidence that is accepted for a conviction. Evidence is the thing that a lawyer takes into a courtroom to prove their case. Now, faith is not the outward evidence. It is the inner conviction that what God said is right and that it's real. What God said He'll do. Someone will say, I would trust God if I only had proof. You do have proof. It's faith. Someone else would say, I would believe the Bible, but there's no evidence that it's real. There is evidence that it's real. It is faith in your soul. The third word is the word witness. Now, you won't find it in the text because it's translated a little different. The Bible says it this way in verse number 2. For by it the elders, and mark this phrase, obtained a good report. That is the word for evidence. The word is used to describe the men and women of this chapter. In fact, in chapter 12, he calls them a great cloud of witnesses, is the way he says it. You see, these men and women were witnesses to you and witnesses to me that we can trust God. Their lives proved God could be taken at His word. Their lives proved you could step out in faith. You could build a boat by faith. You could save your family by faith. You could have a child by faith. You could stop the mouth of lions by faith. It proves these things to us. And then their lives witnessed, and then God witnessed about their lives. He wrote their names down and said, look what they did by faith. You see, faith is a very practical thing. Faith enables you and me to see what others cannot see and to do what others cannot do. The Bible gives us an example of faith in verse number 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, if I was to ask you, if I took a straw poll before church tonight, I said, check the ballot, yes or no, do you believe that God created the world in 6 literal days? I believe I've got a bunch of check marks in that yes box, don't you? I think I would have. You know why? Because I believe that you believe that God spoke the world into existence. Now, wait a minute. How do you know that's so? Was you there when He did? Did you see it? Did you hear it? Do you know anybody that did? You don't. You know how you believe that? Faith. That is the thing, that is the tangible thing that you could say, yes, sir, I believe God spoke the world into existence. And you'd have no reservation about it. You've got no problem with it because you have faith in that. Now, I'd ask you another question. Do you believe you're saved? And you would say, yes, check mark, yes, preacher, I believe that I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? How do you know that what the Bible said about salvation is right and real? And you'd say, preacher, I believe it. I just believe it. You know what that's called? It's called faith. It's called faith. Now, let me ask you a question. If you can have faith that God spoke the world into existence, and you can have faith that He has saved your soul, then how can we not also, by that same faith, trust God to do the things that we need Him to do in our life? You have, by faith, staked your very eternity on God. Why can't you trust Him to put groceries in your cabinet next week? You trust that God is big enough to speak a world into existence. Why can you not trust that He's going to take care of that need that you've got, that thing that you're dealing with, that thing you're going through? I don't know what your thing is, but you've got a thing and I've got a thing. We've all got a thing. And once you get over that thing, there'll be another thing. But you know how we can trust God with our thing? Faith. So how do you know God's going to come through for you this time? Because faith. And that is not pie in the sky, fairy tale hope, so maybe, oh, I'm just praying. That is, I believe it. It is something you can grasp on to. Faith is the substance of faith. Number 2,
I see not only the substance of faith, but I see the source of faith. The source of faith. If you've got your, if you still got your Bible open, go back one chapter. Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, while chapter 11 is considered the great faith chapter, chapter 10 deals a lot with faith. Says a lot about faith. I want to call your attention to verse 22 and verse 23, though, for tonight. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now here it is. Here's what I want you to see. For he is faithful that promised. Now chapter 10 is speaking all about the Son of God who come to do His Father's will. This chapter tells us that the Son testified, I have come to do Thy will, O God. It's all about the Son doing the will of the Father. In obedience to the Father, the Son paid the price for our sins with His own blood and made it possible for us to be saved. Chapter 10, verse 22. And since Christ was willing to be obedient to the Father and He made it possible for us to be saved, we can draw nigh to God with a heart full of a faith. That's what verse 22 says, is it not? We can have faith. Why can I have faith? Because I'm saved. That's why I can have faith. But I like this, verse 23. Verse 22, I can have faith because He's done what He's done. Verse 23, I can have faith because of who He is. Verse 23 says, I can have unwavering faith because He is faithful. And He's the source of faith. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, he said something interesting. He said, Timothy, let me tell you how faithful God is. God is so faithful that even when everybody else ain't faithful, He just keeps on being faithful. He said, did He really say that? He did. I'll read it to you. He said, if we believe not, yet He remaineth faithful. Why, Paul? Because He can't deny Himself. You see, I can have faith. I can trust God. You know why I can trust God? Because He never fails. That's why I can trust God. The book of Hebrews, this whole thing that we're reading from tonight, it was written to a group of Jews. That's why it's called Hebrews. It was written to a bunch of Jews that were considering leaving the faith and going back to the Old Testament lifestyle. And so the writer of Hebrews writes this book to prove to them that God is, Christ is greater. That's the whole thing. In fact, chapter 1 through chapter 6 tells us He's a superior person. Chapter 1 starts out by saying He's the Son of God. He's higher than the angels. Nobody else has ever been given a name like Him. He's been called God's Son. He is a superior person. Chapter 7, verse 10 says not only is He a superior person, He's got a superior priesthood because He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's got a superior person. He's a superior priest. And because He offers a superior sacrifice in a superior sanctuary, He's the superior priest to Aaron. And the faith that he writes about in verse 11 is not based on fairy tales. It is based on a superior one who is greater than all others, who has not nor will ever fail. The faith that he is asking us to have in chapter 11 is not based on us. It is based on Him. Our faith rests on Him. I'm preaching to you about faith tonight. And here's what I'm not asking. I am not asking you to have faith in me. I might let you down. I'm not asking you to have faith in a program. I'm not asking you to have faith in a philosophy. But this is what I am doing. I am asking you to have faith in the superior one. You say, who is he? Well, he's the King of Kings And He's the Lord of Lords. He's the only wise God. He's the fairest among 10,000. He's the one that conquered death. He's the miracle worker. He's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the one in which the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's the one that saved your soul. He is the superior one, and you can trust Him. When you can't trust you, you can't trust anybody else. You can trust Him. He's faithful. And you can have, I like the way it said it in chapter 10, you can have faith that is unwavering because you know He's faithful. Number three, I see faith's success. I see faith's success. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, "For by it," that is faith, "the elders obtained a good report." Who are the elders in verse number 3? They're the men and women that we read about in the rest of the chapter. They're the men and women that did not think faith was something of fairy tales. They believed faith was real. They took God at His word and they did amazing things. Oh, we don't have time tonight, but I could tell you the story of Noah, who built an ark and saved his family. I could tell you the story of Abraham and Sarah that trusted God and God gave him a child. Oh, I could tell you about Moses that delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian captivity. I could talk to you about Joshua as he stood outside of Jericho and watched the walls fall down. I could take you to Rahab's house and watch her faith save her household. I could talk to you about Daniel in the lion's den when he stopped the mouth of lions. We could go on and on. But these men and women, they were successful for God because they believed God. Now here's the thing, and I know this to be so. When we read these things, we think to ourselves, "Wow, I wish I could have faith like that." But at the same time, we assume that these men and women had something special in the faith gene of their system that we don't have. They had an extra faith chromosome or something, but that's not the way it is. The truth is that you can have the same faith that Abraham had. And you can have the same faith that Noah had. And you can have the same faith that Daniel had. In fact, I believe we're given a clue how we can have that faith. This succeeding faith. I think it's found in verse 5. He's talking about a hero of faith by the name of Enoch. He mentions Abel first and moves on to Enoch, and this is what he says. He said, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, what do we know about Enoch? There's one thing we know about Enoch, right? Enoch did what? He walked with God. Is that not right? Right or not? Enoch walked with God. Now, it's interesting to me that he mentions Abel in verse 4. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, is what he says. Here's Abel, and he just keeps moving. He doesn't, no commentaries, he just keeps moving. Oh, and there's Enoch, and Enoch walked with God and had this testimony, he pleased God. But when the writer mentions Enoch, he does not just then keep going on to Noah, but he stops and gives us a commentary. He says this in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see, there was something about Enoch that made the writer stop, pause, and say, the thing this guy had is what pleased God. He had faith based on a daily walk with God. You say, "Oh, preacher, I wish I had faith." You can have faith. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to walk with God every day. If we are going to have faith, we must walk with God. Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God."
You see, the more we know about God, the more we walk with Him, the better we're able to serve Him, and the more faith we will possess. Tonight, God is calling you to walk with Him. God is calling you to have faith. God is calling you to take a step of faith. I wonder, is there something that you need to trust God with? Maybe something more you want to trust God with. Oh, I wish we could get sick of that indifference. I wish we could move beyond the just mundane. I wish we could grow more than, you know, just being complacent with where we're at. God, give us some men and women at Northside Baptist Church that will cast their eyes by faith and say, I believe God can do some great things. Not just say it, not just pray it, but believe it. You say, is that faith enough? That faith is the scientific proof, it's the substance. It is the legal proof. It is the evidence. You can trust God. That's what God wants from you, and that's what God wants from me. Habakkuk says in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just, oh, the just, Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith. I wonder if God could cast some vision in our soul and call us out. You know what we do in our Christian lives? We play in the kiddie pool of faith, the kiddie pool of Christianity. We splash around in that shallow water because it's safe there. It's safe there. God wants us to go all the way in. You say that water gets very mighty deep. It sure does. That water might get over your head. That's what God's calling us out to. Faith. And I wonder tonight, I'm done. I wonder a few things. I wonder as we begin to search our soul and we begin to pray within ourselves, I wonder this. I wonder if there's somebody here today and you're facing something. Maybe it's an obstacle, a difficulty. Maybe you've got a need. And you've battled that thing and battled that thing and battled that thing in your mind. And tonight you want to come down to an altar and say, God, by faith, I'm going to trust you with this. God, I'm giving this thing to you. And by faith, I'm trusting you. You say, what about the circumstances? Oh, don't worry about the circumstances. What about the consequences? You leave that to God. You trust Him. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. And there's not an obstacle and there's not a difficulty, but you want to come and pray that God would give you greater faith. Faith to see things done in your life, maybe in this church. God, I want to trust you for something bigger and I want to trust you for something better. I like what one old preacher, Dr. Curtis Hudson, said. Dr. Hudson said, he said, you might as well shoot for the moon. He said, even if you don't get there, you'll land among the stars. I wonder if there's somebody wanting to come trust God tonight. Some are praying. Some are praying. It'd be good. It'd be good if some church folk come down here and we'd start trusting God for some things, some bigger things. Oh, I can't tell you how thankful I am for how good God's been to us of late. I rejoice in my soul over that. But by faith, I believe we could see Him keep moving and do more.